Say amen. I'm telling you what, after a service like that this morning, and I tell you, man, God just does work and touches and moves and goes where only He can go, and I thank Him for that. Lord, I'm so unworthy to even be a part of a group like this, and I thank God for you. I thank God for your faithfulness. I thank God for your willingness to come to an old-timey altar and do business with an old-timey God. I will tell you this, though, that's the only thing that will work when you do business with God. When you do business with Him and you allow Him to touch your life and allow Him to move on you, it'll change everything in your life and make all things new. If you have a copy of God's Word, I'd ask you to turn with me to Joshua chapter number 6 and verse number 25 tonight. Joshua chapter number 6 and verse number 25. I want to share tonight what all came out of Jericho. We've been in the book of Joshua, and I want to share what come out of Jericho. If I went around this room tonight and I ask you what come out of Jericho, everybody could tell me that a victory come out of Jericho, right? There was a victory that come out of Jericho, out of a battle. But not every battle in your life is a victory. Some are victories, some are defeats, but we all go through battles, amen? We all go through wars, we all go through battles. But tonight, I want to look at what came out of Jericho. Now Jericho, you know this being, and I'm telling you all, it was a walled city, and the walls fell. And in this room, what we say all the time is, Lord, we want walls to fall in our life. We want chains to be broken. We want things to be set free. But you remember, and God lined this up. This morning was an amazing service. You don't let your guard down. Now you come back in laid back, relaxed. Man, I'm talking about full of the Holy Ghost. Been feeding at the master's table, full as a tick on the Holy Ghost. Don't you let your guard down. Hey, you can't live on what happened this morning. You can't live on that this morning. That this morning will only do you till tonight. You can't live on it all week long, what happened this morning. You got to get you another fresh bite tonight. You got to get you another fresh breath tomorrow. You got to keep walking in what God's called you to do. But let me show you this in Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 25. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. And the Bible says, Joshua 6:25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Let us pray. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I thank you for this night. I thank you for the salvations this morning. I thank you for the rededications this morning. I thank you for what you do in this place each and every time we come. But Father, I never want to take it for granted. I never want to just take it for granted that you're going to move and you're going to show up. I never want to get lazy. I never want to get complacent. I never want to compromise. I always want to stay where you'd have me to be, Father. Lord, I pray for each and every one that is under the sound of my voice tonight that we don't get lazy this week for what happened this morning, but we just stay on fire for you. Father, we love you and we thank you. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. I ask you tonight, Father, to touch the one that needs to be touched, heal the one that needs to be healed, and move on who needs moved on. And we ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. What came out of Jericho? When we go back here and we read about the story of Jericho, you know that Joshua and the troops, they went in, they defeated Jericho, and the walls fell down. Now, Joshua and the children of Israel have just defeated Jericho because the Lord was fighting their battle. The walls are down, and the enemy has been defeated. The walls are down, the enemy's been defeated. But remember, child of God, even though you have won a battle, the war isn't over. Even though you've won a battle here, you've won a battle there, you've won a battle over here, the war isn't over. You're always going to be in battle mode, and you always got to be ready. Just like the children of Israel, we have entered a battle against the enemy, and he is relentless and never will give up. But I want us to look at what all came out of Jericho. If you look with me in verse number 25, I see number one, that freedom came out of Jericho. I see where freedom came out of Jericho, and you say, a preacher, what kind of freedom will come out when walls fall in your life and they get torn down and God can move throughout everything in your life? There's freedom going to come. The Bible says that Rahab was rescued, her and her family, everything that was in Jericho. Everybody that was in Jericho besides Rahab and her family had got killed. They had been murdered. They had been done away with. Everything had been destroyed. But Rahab, she was the only one, her and her family, that was saved alive. I say to you that Noah and the ark, everybody was destroyed but him and his family. Only those that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ who will survive. Only body that is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you will have freedom tonight. I see that Rahab, number one, she is rescued. I see that Rahab is also redeemed. Look what she said in verse 25. It said, and Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive. The promise that was made to her to be rescued and to be redeemed. Look at this that the Bible said. Because she dwelt in Israel, that's where she was even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now them two spies that went. You know what Rahab did? She hid them. She put them up. She kept them out of harm's way. And she said, here's what I want. I want a token in return. And here's what the men told her, said, when we come to destroy Jericho, you and your family will be saved of life. Whoever is in your house, whoever is under the blood, whoever's in that house will be saved of life. And I want you to know Rahab was rescued. Rahab is redeemed. But also Rahab is remembered today. You'll never be forgotten once you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, are you sure of that today? I want you to know when God reaches down and he rescues you and he redeems you, he's not going to forget about you. Can I get an amen? Hey, I want you to know tonight that freedom came out of Jericho. But also Rahab is remembered. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 30 and 31 tonight. I want you to know that Rahab, she made it into the faith chapter. She made it into the hall of fame. She made it in there. And you say, preacher, how did she get there? It's because God kept his promise. And not that, glory to God, hallelujah. Not that Rahab kept her promise, but God kept his promise. You listen to me tonight. You can't keep your promise. I can't keep my promise. I'm a promise breaker. I'm not a promise keeper. But tonight, by the glory of God, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said that Rahab is rescued, Rahab was redeemed, and Rahab was remembered. Hebrews 11, 30 and 31 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. After they had done what they were supposed to do. After they walked every day for 6 days. On that seventh day they walked 7 times and the walls fell. And in verse 31 it says, by faith the harlot Rahab. Friends, I'm telling you, she wasn't a church-going girl. She wasn't one you let your kids go home with. She ain't the one that you just see every... I'm telling you what, the Bible called her a harlot. She was a streetwalker. She was a prostitute. And you say, can she still be saved? I say to you tonight that anybody can be saved any place, anytime, anywhere. All they have to do is call on the name of Jesus Christ. It says this, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Folks, tonight, can I say to you, freedom came out of Jericho. Rahab was saved alive. Freedom came out of Jericho. When you hear the story of Jericho, you remember that freedom came out when walls came down. In your life, when walls start falling down, freedom's going to come out. You're going to be rescued, you're going to be redeemed, and you will be remembered all the days of your life. Let me tell you, not only verse number 25, freedom came out of Jericho, but in verse number 27, fame came out of Jericho. Listen to me tonight. Fame came out of Jericho. Any church, I'm telling you what, any church that gets to growing, any church that God's moving in, any church that God's doing anything in, I want you to know it won't be long. Everybody will know it. It'll be all over. And that man of God that stands behind that sacred desk and everybody that sits in the pew, you've got a mark on you. You've got a target on your back. So you must not, when the walls fall and you get set free, don't you for 1 minute think that you can do it on your own. Don't you one minute think that you had anything to do with it. It was that God wanted the glory. God wanted you to be where you're at today, and he reached down and saved you. He reached down and redeemed you. All you done was call on his name. The price had done been paid at Calvary. Can I get an amen? But I only see there was freedom out of Jericho, but there was also fame. Let me give you this. When you get saved, or walls start coming down in your life, the devil can't stand it. Does everybody know that tonight? You've got a mark on your back and you're under attack. When you get saved and you get born again, Taisha, you went from this hand that was in Satan's hand over to God's hand. And God doesn't take you and stick you behind His back and hide you that way. He puts you out on display for everybody to see. You're His child. There's not a mom or daddy in here. Every one of our mamas and daddies in here loves their children. And they put them out. You go to their house, they'll have their picture, about 10 of them sitting on the coffee table. Why? Because they want to display them kids. They want to display the grandkids. They want fame to be that them are my kids. Them are my children. I've done this for them. I've raised them. I've gave them what they need. I've been there for them. They do that in their life. Why? Because they love them. They want to show that to them. But I want you to know tonight, God is the same way. He doesn't hide you out. He puts you on front stage. He puts you out that you can be a display. He puts you out for the whole world to see. And if you look with me in verse number 27, the Bible said, so the Lord was with Joshua. I see not only freedom come out of Jericho, but look at this fame that come out of Jericho. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. When God's on your side, everybody's going to know it. Give you a little side note here. Favor ain't fair. You get under the favor of God, He'll do things in your life that nobody else can add up. When you get where God wants you to be, favor ain't fair. People get mad at you. They'll get upset at you. When you start prospering and you start doing good and you start living a life that is clean and acceptable to God, people don't like that. And most times the crowd that don't like it is the church crowd. They don't like it. They like to see that one out there struggling. They like to see that mama and daddy got a kid that's wayward. They like to talk about it. They like to hear it. They love the gossip. They love that in their life. But you listen to me, when God gets on your kid's side and He gets on that side and He gets on God's side and there's freedom come in your life, it's going to be noised and everybody's going to know it, and you can't hide out when you're a child of God. Let me give you this. So the Lord was with Joshua. Is the Lord with you tonight? Is the Lord with you tonight? I ask you a question. Is the Lord with you tonight? It ain't about if you're with the Lord. It's the Lord with you. Listen to me. I want to be on His side. Amen. I'm not looking for Him to come over on my side. I'm looking to be on His side. When you go back and read about the angel of the Lord that stood there right before they went here into Jericho, and they asked Him, said, whose side are you on? And the angel said, I'm not here to take sides. I'm just here to take over. See, God don't come to take sides. He just takes over in your life. He's either the Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He don't come to take sides. He ain't in the side taking business. He don't take this inside and that inside. He ain't got no grandchildren. All He's got is children. And they get born again. They're free. And there's fame. You say, preacher, what was this fame on Joshua? Joshua's in the spotlight now. It's always been Moses. Moses is dead. Now Joshua's on the scene. Folks, I want you to know, I got some 40 and 50-year-olds around here. You're going to have to step up and start being what God's called you to be. My 40 and 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds, you're going to have to step up. Our 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90-year-olds, they've either died or they're getting older. And we need 40s, 50s, and 60s to step up. You say, well, what about the old generation? You are the old generation. You can't wait on, man, I didn't mean to preach on this tonight. Glory to God. Don't look for the next generation. You are that generation. If you're in this church, we're not looking to raise up a generation. The generation is here. It's here. What we experienced this morning, that don't go on in a lot of churches. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I go to several. It don't go on everywhere. Why? Because there's hard-heartedness. They don't want the Spirit of God to move. There's some arrogant preacher that thinks he's got to preach every time he stands behind that sacred desk, and he won't let the Holy Ghost move. He wants the fame. He wants the glory. God will share His glory with nobody. He'll share His fame with nobody. Man, I'm telling you tonight, what we got going on in this place, don't take it for granted. You thank God for what He's doing. You thank God for that freedom in your life. And you thank God for the fame that He's gave you, that you're not who you used to be. Joshua's in the spotlight. Joshua was on center stage. There was no Moses. He's dead. There is nobody else to go to. It's him and God. Not only was Joshua in the spotlight, Joshua's on center stage, but Joshua was a marked man. You wonder why you go through trouble in a week's time before you get back here? There's a mark on you because you go here. Go find you a little old dead church that ain't doing nothing, sitting there, sitting still, ain't nothing going on. Go there, sit down, get in a corner, don't do nothing, don't let God do nothing. Nobody ain't got saved in 20 years. The baptistry's got a little rubber duckies in it. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? I did a revival one time. You think I'm kidding? And the preacher gonna listen to this recording. He listens to me every week, but I don't care. I went and did a revival one time for a man. And people started getting saved. I'm talking about nothing to do with me, just the Holy Ghost moving through. Man, we was taking 50, 60 people from here every night to that church, and the Holy Ghost got moving through. I'm talking about it was a five-day revival, and it got bouncing from wall to wall. People were getting redeemed, and the noise got out in the community. Man, the highway was lined up with cars. Nothing to do with me, with God, what He was doing in that place. I went in on Thursday night, and I went in, and we were supposed to baptize that Thursday night. And I went in, and I didn't see the pastor nowhere. I looked everywhere for the pastor. I can't find the pastor. Where's the pastor? I got looking around, noticed there wasn't no deacons out there neither. I said, well, they must be in one of them deacon meetings. They must be in one of them deacon meetings back there. Must be back there getting railed on. So I didn't know what was going on after church that night. I said, what are we going to do? We're going to baptize it tomorrow night? He said, we ain't going to baptize tonight. We may do it tomorrow night. I said, why? He said, man, they wanted to get you in a room. I said, why did they want to get me in a room? He said, because people got saved. You ain't supposed to get saved but on Sunday. I said, what the mess? He said, you ain't supposed to get saved on Sunday. You can't get saved during the week like this. And you sure can't baptize on a Friday. And I called him by name. I said, brother, what are you talking about? He said, they wanted to get you in the room. I said, they want to do a lot of things. That's one thing they didn't want to do. You say, preacher, you being arrogant? No, I'm not being arrogant. I'm telling you this. Anybody can get saved any day of their life. All they have to do is have the Holy Ghost drawing them. They get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and God sits down. They can be saved. It ain't up to this preacher. It ain't up to these deacons. It ain't up to this church. It's up to God. When He wants to redeem somebody, He'll redeem them. He'll do it. And the noise will get out and about in the community. Wasn't long after that, he asked me, he said, tomorrow night we're going to baptize. I said, yeah. He said, they got rubber duckies in the baptistry. I said, what are you going to do with them? He said, they want them to float in there when I baptize. I said, you get them things out of there. We ain't letting no rubber ducky. Y'all think I'm kidding? Y'all think I'm kidding? I'm telling you, honest God truth, that happens in churches. You think I'm kidding? The kids have played in the baptistry so long that they had got used to playing with rubber duckies in the baptistry. And you think I'm kidding you? That's what church comes to. That's what happens in a local body church. Folks, that would not never be named around here. Never be named. You've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. You've been set apart. And I tell you that. And it gets all over and you get redeemed. Man, I'm telling you what. And it gets out in fame and you get noticed. If you ain't careful, I'm going to show you something else that'll come out when walls start coming down. And I warn you against this last one tonight. I want to show you this. I warn you against this tonight. Oh, my goodness. Many nights I lay asleep at home because I worry about this. Joshua 27, Joshua's in the spotlight. He was on center stage. He was a marked man. But I want you to know this, the eyes of the Lord is everywhere. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I see tonight, number one, freedom came out of Jericho. We're all free. If you've been born again, you're free. Fame came out of Jericho. But if you're not careful, failure will come out of Jericho. Failure came out of Jericho. You can be forgiven here. Man, we can have a hoo-yah party like we did. Man, this morning is good now. I'm telling you what. It just don't get much better than that. Some people may not have liked it. That young girl couldn't be saved if Jesus wasn't here. The Holy Ghost wasn't here. She couldn't have been saved. If He wasn't welcome here, she'd have to leave lost. But He was here. But failure will come out as well. When you start getting all the glory and all the fame and you don't give it to Him, you've missed the mark. You missed the mark. You say, preacher, you sure a failure? Joshua had no clue. The last person to know what goes on in the church is a pastor. Y'all believe that? Everybody else will know but the pastor. And the pastor will know when it gets so bad that it's done got too bad. Is when the pastor will know. You know when Joshua found out, Brother Kevin? When it was done too late. Joshua come out of Jericho, man, and he was pumped up. But this is a warning for everybody in this church. And when you walk around on a spiritual high all the time, sometimes you get your nose in that book and you read of our past history and what they had to take care of. There was a man named Achan. If you read here in 7:1, look with me in 7:1. 27, look in verse 27. Glory to God. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Everybody knew there's good things going on. I get out in the community, and people ask me, they say, well, I don't hear nothing but good going on at your church. Ain't nothing but good going on at your church. Yeah. We got problems. I just keep walking. I don't want them to think they come into a perfect church. Huh? We ain't a perfect church. I'm your pastor. I'm far from perfect. I'm just forgiven. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Listen to me tonight. It don't take but one to get sin in the camp, and it costs every one of us. You let the wrong person come in and join the church and sit down amongst us, and all they want to do is tear up the church. This thing will be split right down the middle. Be about 15 of us left trying to pay the note and hold on to what we can. That's all we can do. Why do you think people's in here? Because God. Because Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit. But not everybody comes in that door, comes in for the right reason. What all come out of Jericho, preacher? Let me give you this. Freedom came out of Jericho. Fame came out of Jericho. And failure came out of Jericho. The longest three-letter word you ever seen in your life, but. When me and Brandy was growing up, we was dating. I knew she was going to break up with me. Whoop. She'd say, "You know I love you." I said, "Oh, I love you." She said, "You know you're the apple of my eye." I said, "Whoa, I'm the apple. Ooh, glory." She said, "You know you're the hottest thing." And I was like, "Yeah." And then she'd say, "But." And I'd be like, "Huh?" She'd say, "But." I'd be like, What about all that you said before? What about all the forgiveness and all the fame that came out of Jericho? One little word, but. 7-1, B-U-T, but. They fixing to pay for something they didn't even know was in the account. That's why this morning God does what he does. I don't want to pay for your sin. He said, "Well, you ain't got to pay for my sin, preacher. Jesus paid for it on the cross. You come in here with it in your life. You live any way you want to live. You don't think it affects the church. You crazy. You do what you want to do. Live like you want to do. Act like you want to act. Do whatever you want to do." Well, it don't have no effect on the church. I guarantee it does. I want to show you for a few moments what you're living will cost everybody in this place. I try to hold my head up, folks. I try to be positive, but I read the book and I got to preach it to you. That's what's wrong with a lot of our churches. A preacher ain't got enough backbone to stand up and tell them, "So you sin, it's going to cost everybody in the camp. You get out there and fool around and do this and do that, it's going to cost everybody in there. You cheat and steal in the community, everybody's going to know it. Won't be long. You go to somebody's house, they won't even attend church with you." Failure came out of Jericho. Verse number 1 of chapter 7. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in their cursed thing." What? For the children of Israel committed a cursed thing? There's only one man took what he ain't supposed to take. Yeah, but it's going to cost them all. For Achan, the son of Carmah, the son of Zebediah, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. He done told him, he said, "Don't you take anything. Don't take anything that's not yours. Don't take anything. Nothing here is yours. You can't have none of this silver, gold, nothing." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You said, why did failure come out of Jericho? I want to give you a few things. Number one, because Achan committed a sin. Failure's coming. You said, well, we sin daily. We ought not want to sin daily. Preacher, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I sin daily. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Oh, yes, they can. You don't have to make an act of it. You don't have to do it. You ought to restrain from it. And when you do sin, it ought to grieve you to the point that tears run down your face. And you say, "God, I've realized I've been forgiven. And it's been a fame that I have been forgiven. And I've told everybody I don't want no failure to come out of my life." Achan took what wasn't his, and he hid it. Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Achan done heard that, done told, "Don't take it, don't do it, leave it alone." And he did it anyway, and it's fixing to cost him. Let me read this to you. When one Christian sins, and I'm not calling Achan a Christian, Achan was a soldier, okay? But I'm going to use this. When one Christian sins, it will have an impact on the whole church. One. When one Christian, instead of acting like a Christian, acts like a pagan, it has an effect on the whole church. You blow up and have a come apart out there in the community, it'll have an effect on the whole church. One. Takes one of us to act like a pagan to affect the whole bunch. When one Christian sins, it will have an impact on other Christians. The testimony of the church is affected by every member. You believe that? It is. Depends on who I'm talking to is who I'm going to tell who goes to church here. If I'm talking to somebody that works on the railroad, I'm going to tell them Brother Eric Cruz goes here. Do you know Brother Eric? If I'm talking to the police, I'm going to say Brother Riley Cagle comes. And I'm praying that Brother Riley Cagle is holding himself to a standard that it don't bite me when I use his name. Because he's supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And when I'm talking to somebody about Brother Eric Kruth, I hope to God they don't say something and it's bad. Because I'm using his name for good, not bad, to try to acquaint them with the body of Christ. Does everybody understand that? 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Somebody's reading you even sitting there right now. They read you when you're at home. They read you're being read at work. You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you manifestly declare to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. What you've got in your life is not written with ink. I'm just going to give sister a certificate of baptism. It's got my name written on the bottom in ink. That ain't worth nothing. That ain't worth nothing. That's for remembrance for her. What she did this morning, being washed in the blood of Jesus, being washed in the Spirit, by the Spirit, is what did the difference this morning. Is the reason she's at church tonight. Not written with ink. I'm not, what going on in my life ain't written in ink. It's written by the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stones, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And I wrote this down tonight. I want to give you this, and we'll go on with Achan in the days to come. Of course, Achan gets stoned, he gets killed. And because that daddy sinned in his sin, not only he gets killed, but his kids and his wife and his whole family. Takes them all out and stones them, kills every one of them. The Lord said, the only way it's going to be took care of, you got to get the sin out. Shows how important sin is. It's got to be out. If things are not right between you and God, listen to this tonight, please. If things isn't not right between you and God and you have something hid, Achan hid it in his own tent. He hid it in his own tent. He had plenty of time to repent. He had plenty of time. God done told him what they was going to do. He started calling them by the tribes. I'm going to search your tent by tribes. There's sin in the camp, and we're going to find out where the sin is. We're going to get it out, is what Joshua said. But not only did it cost Achan, but if you read in Joshua chapter number 7, it cost 36 innocent men their lives. They just defeated Jericho, and they're on the mountaintop. Joshua don't know anything's going on in anybody's life. He don't know nothing's been hid. And here's what he says. He sends out some men. He says, hey, go spy on Ai. Tell me what you think. And they come back and they said, man, listen, that ain't nothing. We just won that battle. That ain't nothing. Same thing happened this morning. We won the battle this morning and Jesus come back tonight laid back. I'm not going to lay back. There's too many people going the wrong way for me to lay down and lay back. They told Joshua, they said, man, don't worry about it. You got this. We got this. So how many men do I need to send to go to battle? Oh, man, you don't got to send a whole crowd. Just get you a few. It ain't a big ramp, Brother Brent. Just get a few of us to go and build it. Don't get all the men to go. Just get a good few men. It ain't a lot for the women, Sister Kim. Just get a few to go. It ain't a lot, Brother BJ, when you go preach a revival. Just get one or two to go with you. Yeah. Nobody needs to be sitting back. Everybody needs to be on front line. And here's what happened. They went up to Ai. They done had freedom, fame. Man, they were pumped up. But one man's failure cost 36 men their life. You know why? God poured his hands off. God poured his hands off. You say, God wouldn't do that to me, preacher. You listen to me. You listen to me. You want it your way, you'll get it your way. I have learned that in my life the hard way. When I want it my way and I want to do it my way and I don't consult God and I don't want God's input on it and I pull away from Him and I want to do it my way and I think I've done it so long, I can just keep doing it. He'll say, here you go, get all of it you want, big boy. And He'll hand it to me and I usually come back and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. 36 men lost their life because one man had something hid in his tent. And instead of telling it and getting right, he'd rather somebody else go down with him. Brother Riley, you're a cop. You ain't got to answer this question, but you know this is true. When you go and you go to get somebody, you go to arrest them, they're always innocent. They're never guilty. You have all the facts you want, but they're never guilty. It's always somebody else's. Or they just running with the wrong. In the world we live in, nobody wants to take responsibility on their own. If Kevin McDaniel will take responsibility for himself, Brother B.J. Mills will take responsibility for himself, and I keep myself in line, you keep yourself in line, and it goes to everybody else in this building, we will have forgiveness and freedom in this place every time we come in. There will be a fame go out what God can do, and there won't be no failure inside here. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that, but I serve a God that is perfect. And when I do it His will, there's things that can come out of my life, but I can't have nothing hid. That's how important your relationship is with Jesus Christ, not having nothing hid. As I went to Birmingham last night, me and Brandy, and this ain't nothing about me. Listen, when Sister Megan called on Saturday evening at 3:30, she called, she was crying. I seen the urgency in her on her breath when she called Brandy's phone. We walked into the room there with her dad. When I walked into the room and he looked up to me, tears started flowing down his face. Why? Because he knew I didn't come to check on him. I'm not a doctor. Why would I go to the hospital and check on somebody physically? If I come to check on you at the hospital, I'm not coming to see how you're doing physically. I ain't a doctor. I can't start an IV. I can't take a temperature. I mean, what good am I doing? Why am I there, though? Spiritually. When I walked in the room, he knew and I knew. And I walked up to the bed and I called him by name and I said, you know why I'm here. I've been sent by the Lord to ask you a question. He said, preacher, what'd y'all do for 1 hour? We chewed on what the Lord would have us chew on. Every question he had, God had him an answer. Every question that you got in your life tonight, God's got you an answer. Folks, that's how serious it is. When you walk in the room, they ought to know you're not coming in there to talk about football, baseball, basketball, mechanics, none of that stuff. Fishing, none of that. No. What good would that have done me? That's a wasted drive. When you get to that place in your life that nothing else matters, I want you to know God's going to do a work in your life. I'm looking around this room tonight at men and women of God that good's come out of your life already. Don't let failure be named about you. Joshua had to live with that the rest of his life as leader, because instead of inquiring what God would have him to do, he listened to somebody else. And he said, you don't think we need to send nobody else? No, we good. Okay. Folks, tonight I'm telling you, if there's something hidden in the camp, not everybody's got to know about it, because the Lord knows. But Jerry, come up here and lead us in a time of invitation. He said, preacher, we done had that this morning. Praise God, we can have it again tonight. Maybe there's somebody in here and you know. I want you to listen to me just for a minute. My brother Jerry's getting ready. Listen to me just for a minute. You may know something that's hid in your life. Nobody else got to know it. Nobody else needs to know it. All you have to do is admit it to God. You never know the blessings that's being stopped up right now because something hid in your life. May have been hid 20 years. May have been hid 15 years, 10 years. Something is hid. And you say, the Lord just brought it to my attention. What do you do with that that's hid? You bring it to light. And you say, Lord, if there's anything in my life between you and I, forgive me of it. Lord, if there's anything in my life that I don't know about, you bring it to my attention and I will repent over it. Folks, that's what a relationship with God is. That's how you can walk around and not have to hold your head down. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I know too many Christians with their head down because they got things in their life that they not got rid of. Man, don't let that be named amongst this church. Don't let that be named amongst this church. I don't mind going to the jail and visit men and women in jail. But it breaks my heart to go visit a church member that's in jail. It tears my heart, brother. Brother Riley, it tears your heart when you got to lock up a church member. I don't mind going to visit a pagan that don't know no better. But I can't stand a man that professes Christ to be tied back up in the failures of this life. Maybe you got something in your life and you just need God to touch you on this afternoon. Today's the day. If there be anything hid, bring it to light tonight as we stand.